Tappers, good luck digging out of the snow. Hopefully this podcast will be yours for the shoveling process, although you might need two or three of these before you're done. It is the Daily Tap. We are here Monday. It is Snowmageddon in Wisconsin. If you're listening to this not in the state of Wisconsin or in the greater Midwest area, I'm jealous of you. We are going to suffer a major snowstorm. I'm taping this Sunday night, so we've yet to get the snow. It's supposed to come in about a half an hour, so when I get done, it probably will be here. Stay safe, stay warm. It's going to be obviously bitter cold the rest of this week, so just a double whammy. Ma Nature is a real bitch sometimes, and she is coming back hard here. But we are excited to talk to you guys. If this is your first Daily Tap or you're a tapper for a long time, we love to have you. We're talking Wisconsin topics, 20 minutes, what you would get in a radio program in 4 hours. You get this in 20 minutes. It's the best of both worlds. You get all that. We will not be discussing the Super Bowl today. Probably will be something we bring up as the week goes on and we start getting some of those headlines out of the way. And there's stuff to talk about. We got Buck stuff. We got Brewer stuff. Happy to do it all. So let's waste no more time. We'll get to the Buck. So what I've noticed, and I'm not a big, this is, if you guys listen to my podcast, you read what I write, StoneTapWI, it's a website, you may have heard of it. I never am like, the Bucks get no respect. I'm never a no respect guy, because I fucking hate it. I hate it in college basketball. I hate it in actual basketball, pro basketball. I hate it in football. I hate the no respect card. I think why I hate the no respect card is I saw a lot of my Badger fan basketball friends do it throughout the years, and they would just bitch and moan about not having any respect, and I hated it. I thought it's just a dumb look. It makes you look bad. It makes you look sensitive. It's like, there's something alluring, something exciting about being the underdog. It is okay to be the underdog every now and again. No one's going to hold that against you. That being said, it's getting a little ridiculous with the Bucks. It is getting to the point where it's like, okay, they're on TV, yeah, sure, but they're not necessarily getting the respect that they deserve. So there were a few examples of this over the weekend, and kind of tripped my trigger. Definitely one of those things where I'm like, all right, this, we got to settle down. And it was really where it started was the Celtics-Warriors game. So Celtics-Warriors was a fantastic basketball game, one of the best basketball games of the year. It was awesome to watch. I had money on the Celtics. So did Fant. Fant and I, it's too bad I got into gambling after Fant and I lived together, because we would have had a house bet every night, because I had so much fun just going back, and him and I were going nuts at the bar. I told the guy to shut up because he said that it wasn't a call on Kyrie. I was having fun, man. It was in my bag just like Kyrie was. So, but after that game, the headlines and the things of like, well, this is going to be a finals preview. I think CelticsBlog.com, which is the SB Nation site, said, well, we'll see them in the finals. And I'm like, guys, you're a fucking 5 seed right now. People were talking about the Celtics on Saturday night like they were the top team in the East, like that these were the two top teams. Are the Celtics red hot? Yes, they're playing really good basketball, probably their best basketball of the year. But they're still the 5 seed. And probably they'll get to the 4 or the 3 because Indiana is going to fall with the injury to Victor Oladipo. But at the same time, it's like, okay, you got to get there first. You gotta at least be a top seed. You know who's won it? There's not been many who've made it to the finals with a seed lower than 4. The ones that come to mind are the Rockets, the Clutch City Rockets in 1995, who won the finals as a 6 seed, which is wild to think about. And then, the Knicks of the 99 lockout season, that they came in as an 8 seed. But that lockout season, can it really count? I mean, they barely played. It was unpredictable to know who really were the top dogs in the league that season. So before we like get ahead of our skis, I'm not saying the Bucks our lock-in final contender. Like, everybody should be pissed. Raptors fans should be pissed. Sixers fans should be pissed. Obviously, I'm pissed. Because there is no need to cream your pants over this. Like, this is nothing to get excited about. Like, you know what's exciting? Watching Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga perform a live version of Shallow to a crowd in Vegas. That's fucking exciting. Not exciting is, you know, overreacting to one good basketball game. Warriors and Bucks, yeah, they didn't play that great of games. Bucks blew their asses out in Oakland. Steph Curry gets hurt. But even before Steph Curry got hurt, the Bucks were kicking that ass. And then, yes, the Warriors established their dominance in the second game in Milwaukee a month later. That happened. Okay, so we can't just immediately rush to make this take about this being a finals matchup. It's one of the many potential matchups. I think it's why the NBA is probably going to be its most exciting for the playoffs in a long, long time, because it's not a predetermined LeBron versus the Warriors. The Warriors are good, but I'll tell you what, I watched that Oklahoma City team tonight, and I will talk about that game in a second here. I watched that Oklahoma City team, and I'm like, they can beat anybody in the West. Like, my man Doobie McGee said that to me. It was like, there's an ounce of me that thinks they can beat the Warriors, especially if they get Roberson back. Doobie's 100% correct. Like, that's why you roll with Doobie. No pun intended. Yeah, there was a pun intended. Who am I kidding? But seriously, it's one of those things where I think the Warriors are very good. But that OKC team is damn strong. They need to make maybe one or two additions to kind of deepen that bench. But they are a dynamic team. They are a very, very good team. And they play better defense than I think anybody I've seen this year in the NBA. So if you can play good defense like that, and you have a near MVP in Paul George, you can beat the Warriors. So I think it's wide open this year, and I think it's disrespectful to the teams in the East to call it a finals preview. Like, let's at least let the Celtics get a home playoff series in round number one. Maybe it's the Patriots that just influences the brain, and it's like the year of Boston, which, I mean, Boston's had way too much success for the last 20 years. We just need to knock them down a peg here or there. The other thing in terms of the national media that happened, our friend Eric, who's kind of like the Night's Watch of Bucks Twitter, he pointed out that the ESPN Countdown guys were having a conversation about who's the MVP and right now, and they were previewing the Rockets-Raptors game. So you're thinking, they're probably talking James Harden and Giannis, right? They're talking James Harden and fucking Steph Curry. Giannis isn't even mentioned. How the fuck does that happen? Giannis is having one of the best seasons that you'll ever see. Is it just, and I think this goes to, and the analysts on ESPN are mostly former players. And I loved Wilson Chandler today. It was like, oh, these guys don't know shit. You just have a blog and an opinion. First of all, fuck you, Wilson Chandler. You're a hack. You're barely a basketball player. Second of all, you watch some of these dumbass former NBA players who have no fucking idea. They just watch what's on TV. They don't really pay attention and watch the nitty gritty. They're not Zach Lowe, who wakes up in the morning and watches games and gives his takes and tries to watch almost every NBA game. And not a lot of people are like Zach Lowe, but the hustle for some of these people are so real. It's why guys like Chris Mannix and Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons are saying Giannis is the MVP. The guys who are saying Curry and Harden are the ones who are just watching on TV what ESPN, TNT, NBA TV force feeds them. They're not watching the Bucks, and that's fine. That's their prerogative, but it makes your brand, it makes ESPN look bad to not talk about the Bucks. It drives that perception that nobody cares about the flyover states, which they don't, which is fine. But like I said, put a little respect on the name of the Milwaukee Bucks. And yes, they did lose last night. Not great. But I said, it's not a loss where I'm like, oh my God, they lost. Like, Oklahoma City played really, really good defense. They were tough as nails all night. Giannis got blocked 7 times. They had a great game plan against Giannis. He was very frustrated after game, left without handshaked and hand pounding anyone just walked right to the locker room. We'll see if Paul George makes his team as the captain of Team Giannis. We'll see if that he becomes a pick. I definitely think Paul George submitted a resume. He was absolutely incredible. 36 points, 13 rebounds. George had the play of the game, the plays of the game. He dunks right over Giannis in a, just an absolutely sick poster, and then comes back down after the Bucks had hit a three to pull them back to 3 points. George hits the dagger to put him back up six with like 49 seconds left. It was incredible. This is a big week for the Bucks. Bucks are eight of their next 10 are on the road. They have a brutal stretch upcoming. We'll see if they can avoid losing back-to-back games for the first time this season. They play Detroit, who they've done all right against so far this year. They're looking for another win against the Pistons on Tuesday night. Then they go to Toronto on Thursday. That'll be a massive game. That is the big game of the weekend. Fuck the Super Bowl. That is the game. Raptors-Bucks. Bucks win that one. They will then have a 3-1 lead over the Raptors in the race between the two. And then you have Washington on Saturday. Maybe Giannis will play in that one. The Wizards have been all right at home. They're not a good road team, and the Bucks have struggled in that arena. So hopefully they can turn around their fortune. Speaking of the Bucks, there was another interesting thing that came out this weekend, literally as I was taping the Free Talk Weekend, which you can go back and listen to if you have not. It was a good one. We talked about a variety of things. We talk about college hoops in there a lot, about Marquette and Wisconsin. So if you're wondering where that is, you can find that on the Saturday podcast. But Thon Maker wants out. He wants to be traded. That is what, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Thon Maker has requested a trade. Him and his agents want out for more playing time. And it's kind of an amazing thing. It's very interesting to be on the best team in the league, to be winning, to be playing, to be practicing with a great like Giannis, and who is his your friend and has taken him under his wing, and yet you want out because you want to play more. And it was weird. I wrote about Thon Maker and Matt Helt, a Marquette back-to-back. And Matt Held really had a great game, kind of stepped out in the moment. You got to watch the video of Steve Wojciechowski talking about Matt Held and how selfless of a player he is. And I had said, you know, I wouldn't have blamed him if he'd transfer. Like, I totally get it. And so then I asked myself, well, am I being a hypocrite by getting mad that Thon Maker wants to request a trade? It's his decision after all. And I said no. I literally had like my own podcast debate in my head. That's kind of the fucking weirdo I am sometimes. But seriously, it's different, right? College, you only get four years of eligibility, maybe five if you're rich. And you need to make the most of it. If Matt Held wanted to go play for Green Bay, or he wanted to go, I don't know, play for a Horizon like Illinois, Chicago, or Illinois State, or somebody like that, where a good mid-major school, I've been totally cool with that. That's Matt Held's choice. Matt Held can go do that. That he would have got more playing time there, but he didn't. He stayed and he wanted to play. So great for him. But Thon Maker wanting a trade on a great team just strikes me as selfish. It also strikes me that, what are you doing? Do you realize how hard this is? Do you realize how special this Bucks season is? Do you know that not a lot of teams are a number one or number two team in the East? And the Bucks, and Bud has shown this before, there are moments where he goes, I need you to be the guy tonight. And maybe tonight was a night where maybe they could have used Thon. But I think there was a little bit of punishment from Bud. And Bud's a guy who he kind of holds grudges. He's not been a guy who in his career has done well when people speak up. The whole Dennis Schroeder thing, they respected each other, but he had a lot of problems with Schroeder when coaching Atlanta. So Thon just needs to realize that he is important, but I got to think he's going to probably get traded. And I don't know. I mean, I look at a guy like Wesley Matthews, who's on an expiring, who was very good at the Fiserv Forum. Wes Matthews, and I'm a homer, I'm a Marquette fan, you know this, but I would love Wes Matthews off the bench. That would be such a great shooter off the bench for the Bucks to have. a guy who can just come off and light it up. And if you have him on one corner and Sterling Brown on the other corner, oh my God, that would be great. And now, yeah, some people said Frank Kaminsky. I just can't. Cheering for Frank Kaminsky would be really tough. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm already doing it with, who's it? I'm trying to think who would be an example. That's like Aramis Ramirez level. Also, like, I've wondered if I could cheer for Manny Machado. I probably could, but it would take a while. It would be a slow process to get used to Machado. I just think Kaminsky is one of those guys. There are Wisconsin players I actually like. I enjoy Sam Decker. I enjoy a few others, but Kaminsky's in the Mount Rushmore of hated Badgers for me. So that would take some legitimate time. That's like when Danny Fortson was a Buck. Remember that? That was really tough for me because I fucking hated Danny Fortson in college. He was one of my first players I really hated because those Cincinnati teams were fucking awful. Just the Huggy Bear and, oh my God, there was just a lot of bad blood between Marquette and Cincinnati. Never forget Cordell Henry got hit in the dick by Jason Maxseal in a game. And if Twitter was a thing back then, Maxseal would have probably been suspended for the NCAA tournament. But, yeah, you know, I don't get over it. All right, wrapping up the show. So there were Brewers on Deck happened. It was Sunday. I'm sure there are many Brewers who are out and about on Sunday night getting after it in Milwaukee who didn't go home. And the two of the big headlines from the on deck, well, there's like three. So there is the Jimmy Nelson wants to be the opening day starter. Jimmy Nelson does not have any restrictions coming into spring training. And not only does Jimmy want to be in the rotation, he wants to be the opening day starter. Now, that hasn't been a good thing for Brewer. It's been a weird curse that people have really struggled who have been the opening day starter in the last few years for the Brewers. But Nelson, who has a swagger and a confidence about him, still he's thin-skinned, but that's okay. He blocked me on Twitter. It's a long story. Well, if you want me to tell it, just let me know. We'll do it on a free talk. But you know, Jimmy Nelson is kind of what he is. He's a bulldog. He's a competitive guy, and that the fact that he wants to be the man to right at the start of the season is fucking awesome. That's a great thing. Good sign for the Brewers. Exciting in that regard. Also, one of the other headlines was Christian Yelich is pretty worn out. Just been having a crazy offseason with the MVP stuff, the California wildfires, a few other things that were mentioned. And the Brewers have said that they're going to kind of ease him into spring training. They want him to just rest. And so I think they're telling him, like, hey, look, the next month, just chill out. Just relax until you have to go do baseball stuff again. And so, yeah, that's a little concerning. I know that some of the Wally Waukeshas of the world will be like, his head's getting too big. He's not focused on the season. Yelich is going to suck this year. There will be those. And some radio show host might be like, do you think Yelich spent too much time doing other shit than baseball? They won't say shit because they can't. But that will be a topic on some radio show today. I don't know whose. Do we want to spin a wheel? Like, if we spun a wheel, who would that land on? I would say either Bill Michaels or Mike Heller. That would be my guess. So we'll see if we're right. If you guys see it, tag me. I'd love to see it. I don't follow that stuff closely. I try not to, at least. But then the last part of it is apparently there's going to be a platoon to start at second base. The Brewers aren't really seeing themselves making a move there. I get it. Keston Hira and Mauricio Dubon are probably going to be ready sooner rather than later. So having Spangenberg and Hernan Perez be the second basemen for now is probably fine. And you can move Travis Shaw there if you'd want and put someone else at third base. Tyler Saladino sounds like he's going to get a shot to also contend for that second base position. So I don't really have any problem with that. With how good of a infielder Orlando Arcia is, I think that you can make up with having a platoon second baseman. I mean, Arcia really can make anybody look good at second base, and you don't need like a all-star defender there. You just need someone who can, you know, not screw it up too often. And also with the way the Brewers shift, you're not really playing second base for a different parts of the game. So yes, excited to get baseball back in our lives. It's a lot of fun. I'm sure if you went to On Deck, it was a great time. It looked like a blast. Hopefully you had a good time there. All right, well, that does it. We will be back tomorrow for another edition of Daily Tap. I sure will talk a little bit about the snow. We'll also talk about another variety of local topics. And then Tuesday night, Mitch and I will be taping the Tapping the Keg podcast. So that will be running on Wednesday. So look for that. All right, take care of yourself. Have a great week. Like I said, stay safe. Drive safe. Don't be that asshole who's just rolling through the snow. And we'll talk tomorrow. All right, see ya. Bye.